You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 178 of Wisdom by Wessa on the Horse Radio Network.
This is Jennifer Hebert.
I'm Morgan Nicole.
And this is Sophia Yagela. Welcome to Wisdom by Wessa on the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Woohoo! Countdown is officially on, Sophia. What are the first attendance stats looking like as we count down the very last days until the August Wessa show?
Yes, just a couple of weeks left, and we're so excited. And compared to last August, we're especially excited to once again have grown the number of exhibitors, and we just released the second pre-registration list, which already shows a higher attendance as well. So we're all set to have a great show in just a couple of weeks.
Woohoo! Any last-minute tips for buyers? Because buyers are essential. If you haven't signed up to go to the Wessa show in August, you need to do so. Any last-minute tips?
Exactly. You can make appointments. You can use the app to find contact information if you don't want to use the directory. But most importantly, just prepare to have fun. We will celebrate the 40th anniversary of adding English products to the show. So make sure you attend the anniversary party on the first day. We'll have some giveaways. And of course, make sure you stop by and take some pictures at the new backdrop for the social arena. And yeah, just have fun.
Woohoo! And now it's time to introduce our guest. Can you do that for us, Morgan?
Of course. Today we have Clifford Hand. He is the co-owner of Recherche Furnishings, a Texas-based family business creating handcrafted American-made home decor from reclaimed materials with a focus on craftsmanship, sustainability, and meaningful design. Cliff, we are so excited to have you and Recherche on the podcast today. Welcome.
Well, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. We cannot wait to hear even more about your story. We hear that you are a Texas-based family business. Tell me a little bit about you to start.
Well, my degree is in advertising and marketing. So I started out in that field. So most of my career, about 25 to 30 years, has been spent in the advertising field. So I worked in Dallas for Tracy Locke, DDB Needham, Richards Group. I worked on Pepsi, Frito accounts, Pizza Hut, Land's End, Home Depot. So most of my career was that. And then back in 2008, Jen and I met and I decided to start a marketing firm. We had that for a short period of time. And then I started making custom furniture just kind of on the side. At the time, I was on the board of the chamber there in Rowlett, Texas. And so it was around Christmas time. We had some folks that came over to our home and they saw the furniture that I made out of concrete and wood. And they were curious as to what that was. And so I explained to them. So we started Recherche as custom furniture. And it entailed old traditional joinery like dovetail, mortise and tenon, stuff that would be more like heirlooms later on would last for years and years. We did that for about 5 years. Wound up going to High Point, North Carolina for the furniture show in those 5 years. And then we met metal cutters along the way. And a friend of mine gave me some old wood, some old fence wood from his backyard. And I started making custom frames. So reclaimed frames from that. From there, we did that for a couple of years. At one point, we made 14 different sizes of frames. And then we morphed into making little metal medallions that fit on the corners of these frames. And we literally only sold one of those, like literally. So obviously bad idea, but adjust and conform is kind of what we say around here. So that morphed into metal signs. And so we started cutting metal. At the time, we contracted out everything, other cutters to cut our stuff. And I remember Jan telling me, saying, you know what? We're never going to do metal. And I said, okay. But I was like, well, we're going to do metal. So I would get people to cut stuff and then I'd bring it to a show and introduce it without her knowing. And she'd go, where'd this come from? And I'm like, well, you know, I thought we'd just try this metal out. So then it became, okay, we're never buying a plasma machine to cut metal. So, I mean, most of our line, like 90% of our line at that time was metal now. And so we had other people cut our metal. Well, it just didn't become, it became not very cost effective. So I kind of let her come up with the idea. One day she came to me, she said, hey, I think we need to get a plasma cutter because we're paying way too much. I'm like, thank you, Lord. So
on the same page.
Right. So we bought a plasma cutter. And so that kind of started this. So I was able to really incorporate the woodworking, because at the time we mounted all of our metal on wooden frames. So I incorporated woodworking with my design stuff. So I design everything that we have in our line. We have over 3,000 SKUs. I'll design somewhere between 150 and 300 new designs a year. So that line continues to grow. So,
wow. I love that. And I love to see how Recherche has really evolved over time. And I can see now on your website that the 3D metal frames, that's definitely y'all's main product now. Tell me how, even after getting that plasma cutter, how you guys have managed to continue keeping up with the meaning of your name. Maybe you can share that as well.
Well, it probably meant more back then when we were doing furniture. Although every piece is different, we do a natural rusting. So we have what we call a rust farm. That's a glorified term for big 10 by 10 pallets laying out in the pasture that the cows can't walk on. And so it does a natural rust. So here where we are in Texas, we can rust. So like we clean the metal. So we cut the metal. We do what we call post rusting. So we cut the metal and it comes to us oiled so it won't rust. Then we actually clean it in a light solution like you'd shock a swimming pool with. And then from there, we put it out on pallets. And within 4 to 6 hours, it'll be a rusty, nice mocha brown, typically. Interesting thing, though, about rusting is I can tell you, like, I can look at signs on our wall. And I can tell you, like, whether it was rainy that day, whether it was 75 degrees or better, the rust will be different tones, different shades. It'll have different designs on it. So like if it rains on it, it'll be splotchy. If we get any condensation, it'll be a little bit more burnt orange than it will be mocha brown. So there's a lot of variations with it, but every piece is going to be different. So it's going to be unique.
Neat. I love how throughout these years, you've been able to gain so much experience of knowing exactly how the product's going to come out. Of course, each one is going to end up being a little bit one of a kind, but tell us part of the custom design.
So custom is about 50% of our business. So a lot of our designs, 50% of our designs will be from a shop coming to us and saying, hey, I got this idea. I would love to get it in metal. Can you do it? Well, our answer is typically yes. So that's where part of our designs come from. We don't charge for design. So that's been a big seller for us because people will come and usually our competitors will do a setup fee. They'll do a minimum of like 100 pieces. We deal with a lot of small shops and we like it that way. We also deal with larger shops and larger entities, but a small shop will come to us and they can get a custom design. They can do 10 pieces the first time and wow, that'll get their custom design. So it's really a small opening order that they have to do to get something to completely custom for them. And we've done, so like we have some shops, we try to keep shops from being carrying our line in the same town or zip code, but we do have some zip codes that have like 3 shops. So what we do to accommodate that is we create custom designs for each shop. So for instance, if you went to Silverado, there are 3 shops that carry our line, but all of them have a different Jeep that is there specifically. So we can accommodate them with that. And, you know, I've been a designer long enough that typically if you give me the information that you really want, I can usually hit that design in one time. which is why we cannot charge for the design. It doesn't take very long to do it.
See, that was going to be one of my next questions about pricing. And of course, with your products being sustainable pieces, but I love that you said through the craftsmanship and the quality, you can keep these products very accessible, even down to a low opening order. And I think that's really neat too. Of yes, you might have multiple retailers in a, you know, zip code, but giving them their exclusive designs definitely allows for everything to feel like it has its own spotlight.
Right. And what you wind up with when you run into those situations is you'll have, it becomes a price war between shops if they don't have a different offering. So it's just who can sell that piece, that design, the cheapest is going to be the one that's going to get that consumer. So right. We try to eliminate that. If they want this certain Jeep, they'll have to go to the shop down the road. They can't get it from the shop that they're at.
Right. Now, what would you say one misconception is that people have about working with metal?
They always think that shipping is going to be extremely heavy because it's metal. And Jan, she's constantly working with our shipping vendors to redo that pricing every year. So I'll give you an idea. Most of our shipping comes in at 10 to 12% of what your order is, which is really low.
Yes.
And if you're a shop in Texas, you're going to get that shipment. Once we cut it and rust it and seal it, you're going to get that shipment next day.
Wow. So very fast turnaround, which is definitely beneficial for those small businesses who might just want to place that minimum opening order and kind of reorder as they go. That's really great turnaround. Wow.
Well, I will say this. So when people ask us, okay, what is your turnaround? It's 4 to 6 weeks typically. And the deal about the turnaround is, it depends on what the custom design is and how long it takes for them to approve the design. But we are more like Burger King than we are McDonald's, is what I always tell them. So we don't have anything under a heater. We actually cut on demand. So from the time that they do that order, there's nothing on a shelf, because at the end of the year, we're going to do an inventory and our inventory is going to be zero pretty much.
Wow, I love it. Now, I think this might be a great transition for my co-host Jennifer. Jennifer, do you want to pop in?
I do. I have so many questions. And the first one being,
join us.
you skipped over the recherche. So did the name of your company, where was its origin? And did it come when you started your furniture business or when you started the decor business?
Okay. So when I was in the agency world, there was a software called Thought Office. I don't even know who made it. It was an application. And so it was just kind of a brainstorming software. It doesn't exist anymore, I don't believe. But what you could do is you could put in their words and it would give you word associations. I think Word Hippo actually accomplishes the same thing online now, so that you could get rhyming words or words that mean the same as
this. It does all the jobs that the old fashioned thesaurus used to.
Correct. That is correct. Wow, that takes me back. We're going back to encyclopedias and things.
Oh, paper. Oh, my God.
Exactly.
So you ended up with a French conglomeration.
So this is how it happened. Well, this is how it happened. So we defined what we were. So I looked at our furniture, and we were elegant. We were extravagant. We were one of a kind. And so I plugged that into Thought Office, and for every one of those words, the word recherche kept coming up. Now, I grew up in Louisiana, so I have a little bit of a French background. So it is French, obviously. And so I thought, man, what does that word mean? And so when I looked it up, it actually means all of those three words. And so,
how cool is that? So
at the time, I thought, you know, our last name is Hand. So it would have been normal for us to say Hand Designs or Handmade, or you play off the last name. But instead, I decided to do recherche. And in its inception, it seemed like a really bad idea, because I was a member of the chamber and I would go to network things and people would say, how do you say that name? And so I would tell them, I'd say, well, you say re share like the singer, Shay. And I might meet them like 6 months later and they would say, hey, you're that share company. And they would remember the name because I had to, because they didn't understand what it was. And because I had to explain it the way I did in a visual way, they retain that better than they would if I had done hand designs.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I love it. So when you are in Louisiana, maybe you're chatting with a store that is located in Cajun country, do you find fewer people ask you what the heck that word is and how to say it?
Yeah, they don't ask me that at all. And like, yeah. Use another word. We use another word around here. It's called lanyap. And lanyap just means a little something extra. And so, you know, for a long time, we would actually give rusted nails or screws to actually mount their signs. And we've discontinued that because people would throw them away or they wouldn't know what they were used for. And so, but yeah, I don't venture back home very much. I try to stay in this side of Texas as much as I can.
There you go. So whenever you are speaking with retailers or potential retailers, how do you deal with the made in the USA versus imported? Because your handmade products are very comfortably priced in that they're very accessible versus some high-end stuff that you might see at a store in New York City that does the same thing and probably imported it and has an outrageous price tag on it. How do you help the retailer get that point across to the customer that it's USA made and it matters?
Well, we have name tags on them that actually, we don't do Texas made, although we could. We do Made in America, and everything we do is right here at our ranch. Now, whether our steel is imported from China or Mexico, we have no idea. But all the work that is done, all the design that is done, is going to be done right here at home. And it's all going to be done right here on our ranch. And typically, it's going to be done by one of us because we try to hire local high school students, give them part-time jobs. And so that's typically who our employees are because we're very rural. It's very hard to find employees as far out as we are.
So,
I mean, we're...
Yeah. It's hard to find employees even in cities nowadays. So
right.
And does that harken back to your earlier career where you were very involved with the local chambers and things like that, that you got an early appreciation as a business owner of the need and the benefit of keeping the business local, yet reaching countrywide? Because do you have retailers in all 50 yet, or are you still working towards that?
Well, if you know one of the seven people in Rhode Island, I would like to meet them. We'll make a great deal. We are in 49 states, and Rhode Island is the only one we're not in.
I have some connections in Rhode Island. I'll make some calls.
I love it. So you know one of the seven people. We'll make a great deal. And then we're in about every national park you go into. We'll have magnets or ornaments or signs in there. So, you know, it's been, you know, and when we started, we were competing with companies that have been in the business for 20 years. So that custom design thing for free really got us in the door to a lot of shops.
I imagine.
And it still does. Yeah, it still does.
Sure. Anytime you get anything custom, you get a custom coffee mug. Well, I'm sorry, but you have to order 500. Well, if you're a average tax shop in America, that's not quite going to cut it. If you're a .com tax shop, yes, but the vast majority of stores in America are not .com tax shops. They're local stores that service people who live within 100 miles of them. What gave you the idea to have the custom product line like you do? I've never heard of a business that does that.
Well, probably my love for design. And
you just had an excuse to use your plasma cutter more. That's what it was.
Well, what I love is when, like, we visit shops sometimes, and a lot of times they don't know we're kind of incognito because they may not have met us at all. You know, they may have had a buyer that came in that bought it and they don't know who we are. So when we go in there, Like we've had it happen before where I'll go in and I'll ask them, you know, what would they be most proud of? Or what's a new product that you have, knowing that we're one of them. And the owner has taken me over to this, whatever it is, and said, well, I designed this. So they take ownership of the design. I love that. I love it when, you know, somebody designs something and they see it. It's like back when I was in advertising and I would get on a plane and I would see something I designed in the catalog that's in the back seat. I would like open it up and there's something I designed. It was just kind of an adrenaline rush, I guess. But
sure.
I love customers just being super excited about the product and something that they designed. I have no problem with them taking credit for it.
And it gives each retailer the ability, because the retailer knows his customer base or her customer base. I have at least a dozen tack shops within an hour's drive of me here in Ocala, Florida. I'm spoiled for choice. But right. each store still has its own brand personality. And those stores can really reach out to their personal customers. It's like, you know, I have a lot of show jumpers who come in here, and these show jumpers are seasonal and they're mostly from the north central part of the country. And I know what they like. I can get this designed by you guys. So brilliant thinking there. So one more question before we take up too much of your day. If you were to give a retailer one piece of advice before they place their next order from you or from a company that makes home decor items, what would that be?
Well, obviously, you know, for us, our Western Nativity is our top seller. So I usually point retailers to that, and it doesn't matter what time of year. So that I point them to top designs. I also point to, so some differences between us and my competitor. Most of my competitors are located in Arizona. And the difference between us is there's quite a few. They do pre-rusting. So they rust their metal, then they cut, which makes these dark halos. And these things I'm telling you doesn't make them better or worse than us. It just makes us different because we're in shops with them. They carry both of our lines. So I'll give you some of the differences. They do a pre-rust, so they cut their metal rusted. And because the plasma burns the rust, it makes a dark halo. We do post-rusting, so we cut and we have a more even tone. In Texas, I can buy 16 gauge cheaper than I can buy 18 gauge. 18 gauge is a lot thinner. If you drop it, it's going to bend. 16 gauge is a little bit thicker. And so our standard sizes for a sign are 14 inches. Could I do 12 inch signs like my competitors and get more out of a sheet? Sure, I could. But 14 for me, and that really stemmed from the wood frames that we used to do. When we go pick up this old fence, it would be rotted between the rails. We could get 16 inches of wood, good wood. And so I wanted to make a frame out of 16 inches. So I wanted my signs to have a full inch all the way around it as a border. And that's where the 14 inches really came from. But it's a great selling point for my product because they're buying something at a comparable price, but it's bigger. It's more designed. So I call it cliff art. I don't use much clip art with a P. I use my art. And so it's going to be unique to them. And then the fact that they're opening order with us, whether it's custom or not, is 10 pieces. And that's not a monetary number. They could order 10 magnets from me and spend $40 or whatever that is. And they can start their order with me. Their reorders with me, they could order one and I'll send it to them. So I'm going to try to accommodate them. But here's what I do know about most of the shops that I have. They don't have a lot of storage space in the back. So they don't have just shelves and things where they can store stuff. I always tell when they walk into the show at West, I'll say this. I would rather you pick 10 things, different things, because you don't know what's going to work in your market, and I don't know your market. I know a market, but I don't know your personal market. So I'd rather a shop come in and pick 10 different items and see how those sell than invest a lot of money in 10 pieces or 100 pieces and then it not sell, and then they're angry with me because they have all this inventory left.
Yeah. So your whole business model really is catering to the local and regional brick and mortar store, which we just love to death because the bigger industries have been touting the demise of the small store for years, and hello, they're still going. So where can people find you online so that they can reach out to you and learn more?
So they can go to our website, and our website is by no means up to date because my competitors like to take my designs. So like right now, I have a slew of new designs we're going to introduce at WESA that nobody's seen. And I like it that way because if I can be first to the market, I get 80% of the market. So, you know, like when we introduced our Western Nativity, nobody had seen it. And today, for the last almost 4 years, that has been a top seller for us. And we start cutting Western Nativities in June in Texas. And the reason that we do that is because we have a shop in Pennsylvania that sells our Nativities. And I asked him one day, I said, so why do you buy these nativities in June? He goes, because when people buy nativities, they usually buy them for somebody else. So when you walk into a store and you see a nativity that you just love, you better buy it then, because if you wait till November, they're not going to have them. And that's true. Like in the latter part, starting in November, every other sheet I cut will be Western Nativities. And so it's just been a great seller for us, and it's always at our showroom, but it's crazy how well it's done.
Yeah. So, and your website is?
Recherche Furnishings. So Recherche Furnishings, plural.com.
There we go. That way they can find your email address if they want to email. Your phone number's on there if they want to give you a call. And you are going to be at WESA in August. Is that right?
We will. And we do have a show special. So if they order $500 or more, they're going to get free shipping.
There you go. Thanks a bunch, Cliff.
You'll find all of the links from today's episode in the show notes. Make sure to subscribe to Wisdom by WESA on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen, so you never miss the conversations that are shaping the equine industry.
That's right. New Wisdom by WESA and Retail Roundup episodes are going to be dropping every Thursday, and they are available on the Wisdom by WESA podcast feed. See you next time.